Hello, and welcome to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, where you'll hear advice from experienced safety leaders on how to protect your people and business. I'm Peter Steinfeld. Construction sites are some of the most dynamic and unpredictable work environments due to shifting personnel, high-risk hazards, and oftentimes close proximity to critical infrastructure. That's why it's a business imperative that construction companies have robust, well-tested emergency preparedness and incident response plans that are integrated across all business functions. Today, we're joined by Eddie Berry, Director of Risk and Threat Intelligence at Turner Construction, an international construction services company. Eddie shares how Turner works cross-functionally to ensure safety on job sites and surrounding communities, grounded in a culture that prioritizes care for everyone their work touches. Let's listen in. Hey, Eddie, it's fantastic to have you here. I've been looking forward to this all week. Thank you so much for joining.
Peter, thank you so much. It's really a privilege to be here and work with your team. I can't thank you enough for having me.
Well, can you start by giving us an overview of your role at Turner Construction?
As the Director of Risk and Threat Intelligence in Turner, my job is really the liaison between our senior leadership and our boots on the ground, or all of our safety officers, et cetera. I primarily report to our risk group, our Senior Vice President of Risk. Additionally, I support our Senior Vice President of Safety, our Senior Vice President of Employee Relations, as well as our Chief Security Officer on the Information Services side, our data. So those roles are the areas that I support with regards to safety, risk, and threat intelligence.
So it sounds like there's a lot of cats you have to herd.
There are. It's a good opportunity, for myself to really, make sure that we have alignment with regards to all of our employees, actively caring for our employees, but making sure that everybody's in the loop with regards to our safety.
Well, what are some of the biggest safety challenges that you and your teams face on the ground?
Some of our job sites, not all of them, but I'm going to give you a couple of larger ones. We're doing data centers that may be in the middle of nowhere, and data centers are quite large, and some of them don't have physical addresses as of yet. So what'll happen is you may have a GPS coordinate, you'll have a project number, you have a project name, and then you'll have the GPS coordinates for that project. And typically what happens as well is you need to build a support for that particular data center as well. Meaning you're actually building where people are going to live temporarily, where they're going to work temporarily so that they can support that new construction that's there. The second thing I would mention is that for those staff that are coming onto the job site that are not Turner employees, they don't have a physical Turner email address or a signed phone. One of the things we've been working with Alert Media is to have a public registration for those individuals. What that means is that in Alert Media, under the company setting, there is a tab called public registration. What you can do there is you can actually set up a code, a Texas subscribe code. So if Peter is coming onto my job site as a glass worker or a mason or whatever it may be, Peter then could say, hey, I want to text to subscribe to this group that was set up that's just specific to that job site, meaning that they're only going to get notifications that are specific to that new data center or that new job site. And now Peter does his text to subscribe. He's automatically added to that group. He will then be able to receive notifications specific to that group. Like many other construction companies, the biggest concern is always our trade workers, employees that are working on job sites. The challenges there comes down to communication, right? The ability to make sure that we can communicate to those individuals in times of a crisis and making sure that they have the ability to report back that they are safe in the event of weather-related events. That's most job site issues in and around weather. It could be heat, it could be lightning, it could be storms, et cetera. But also job sites are in nature always a risk, right? You always have a chance that someone's going to get hurt on a job site. So making sure that we're following our pre-task plan, making sure that we have, again, those open lines of communication that if something does go wrong, that we have the teams in place to mitigate or assist employees that need that type of assistance.
And it seems like you've got a really fluid situation you have to watch, because unlike other places where you have like a manufacturing facility or just an office worker environment where it's basically the same thing going on day after day, with your job sites, it's just constantly different. One day you got people on there putting up steel, another day they're pouring concrete, et cetera. So things just change constantly. So what kind of planning do you implement before incidents occur to ensure teams are ready to act quickly?
We have two things in Turner that we do every day. We make sure we have a pre-task plan, and that pre-task plan goes into effect on every job site and make sure that everybody, again, understands exactly what's going to be accomplished for that day. And if it's repetitive, meaning it's something that's going to happen for that week or that month, you don't just do it once. You do it every day. You make sure you plan, do, check, adjust. You're making sure that, hey, if something's going to happen tomorrow that you're going to, that you did differently from the day before, that you're documenting that, making sure you're working with the right people at any given time. If someone new joins the team and they need to be familiarized with that pre-task plan, that you're informing them, hey, these are the steps that are involved. These are the mitigation steps that we're taking to mitigate the risks that are potentially existing on that job site. And then if something, God forbid, does happen, Peter, we always have our crisis management plan that we refer to. Essentially, what that does is it tells us that if something happens, X, Y, or Z, these are the right people that are going to get involved. Most of our job sites do have an on-site medic. All of our job sites have an assigned environmental health and safety officer or safety person. And those people are in the know with regards to when something happens on a job site, who they need to report to, who needs to be in the know with regards to what happened, and more importantly, what are we going to do to prevent that from happening again in the future?
You said something earlier that really caught my ear. You said it really quickly. Make sure I got it right. Plan, do, check, adjust. 100%. So that must be a mantra that you have.
It
Talk
is,
more
yes.
about that.
Yeah. So that's true of whether we're talking about a construction-related event, or it could be software implementation, or it could be every day at Turner, we always use the term plan, do, check, adjust. We say, you plan for an activity. What are you going to do today that's different than yesterday? You do it. You make sure, hey, I did what I said I was going to do. I check my work. Is everything right? And if I need to adjust it to make it an improvement better, we make those adjustments. And more importantly, we communicate that to other people that, hey, I learned this lesson. So you plan, you do, you check, and you adjust. So you're constantly improving.
Well, once a plan is in place, how do you prepare teams to carry out those plans effectively while they're under pressure?
So an example, Peter, of how we prepare some of our teams is we like to perform tabletop exercises. One of the things that we did recently was a tabletop exercise for a crane collapse on a job site that implemented or occurred near a hospital. What we decided to utilize was a existing job site that was at a hospital. And we said, okay, what needs to happen with regards to the start of the incident when the crane collapses to literally 3-4 days, even weeks later, we laid everything out. So we said the first 15 minutes, what you're doing is you're evacuating the job site. We have muster points. Every single person on a job site knows where their muster point is. And then we're making sure that we take into consideration that everybody's accounted for, right? And we determine very quickly who is not out of the job site. And that all ties back to who's supposed to be on site that day, who's not on site that day, who had vacation day, who had a day off, whatever it may be. Then it becomes, okay, who's taking over the role for that particular incident? Typically what happens, Peter, is you have the police force come in, you have fire department come in, you might have a rescue team come in depending on the city that you're in. And normally what happens is there's the chain of command is between the police department and the fire department about who's taking it over. And what they'll do is they'll set up a command post that's usually close to, but not too far away from the actual incident. What they'll do is they'll start working through, hey, who's still trapped inside? If there is anybody trapped inside, how are we going to address getting those folks out? Working with our team, the Turner team, we have an engineer of record who's actually going to be working very closely with the authorities. We have our construction team leads who are going to be working very closely with those authorities. And then we also have to bring in potentially an outside engineer to determine, hey, is it safe to go in there and do the work that needs to happen? And then more importantly, we have a liaison working with the hospital to say, hey, here's what happened. Did any required material for that hospital get impacted, whether it be water, heat, electricity, air conditioning? You know, those are all important to the hospital, making sure they had the backup generators working if they need to cut anything off. We have a very, very tight ship with regards to making sure that everyone's in the know from start to finish.
And I can imagine this would go a lot more smoothly if people are working on a common set of, let's say, expectations or a common shared language that everyone's familiar with. Is that important when you think about moving through these incidents?
It is. It 100% is. And that's why, the pre-task plan I keep mentioning, as well as our crisis management plan, like we always plan for if something does go wrong, here's the chain of command. Here's the right protocol you need to follow. And that starts with Alert Media, making sure that, hey, we're using our job site notification templates in Alert Media to communicate to the right local leadership as well as our senior leadership when an event happens.
How important do you think that communication is to the overall success of navigating through these incidents?
It's critically important because what happens is in a major incident, you know, we may have an opportunity to utilize Alert Media more than just once. And I'll give another example with the recent flooding in Texas a few weeks ago. So essentially, while this wasn't on a job site, the first thing we did, we sent that notification to everybody in the general area west of Austin. And we said, hey, was anybody in the area? And we decided to include our folks in Houston, our folks in San Antonio, and obviously Austin. And we quickly determined using Alert Media that we had one person who was actually in the area, who was on there by vacation. And we also determined that another person had their family, their parents that lived in that area, lost a home. We made sure we communicated to them that, hey, we're here for you if you need any sort of assistance.
I can imagine that helps bring focus when you're trying to deal with a chaotic situation. Just getting that feedback in real time helps you understand, hey, I need to put more effort here, or no, I can move on to something else.
Absolutely. What I like about the notification feature, actually the survey feature in Alert Media, is the ability to quickly determine who do I need to focus my attention on. So for example, I'll give you another event. A couple years ago, we had a parade in downtown Kansas City when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And there was a shooting at the parade. And we had obviously numerous people from our office who were at the parade and whatnot. We sent out a message to, I want to say it was about 600 or 700 individuals. And very quickly, we were able to determine, hey, that these are the 10 people that didn't respond back yet. Or these are the 5 people that, hey, we need to make sure that they had the assistance they need if they were at the parade. So quickly, we were able to determine there was 5 people at the parade. All of them were safe. They didn't need any assistance. But to your point, Peter, it allowed us to focus in or hone in that, hey, I don't need to worry about these 455, 495 people. I need to just focus on these 5 people right now.
Well, can you describe an incident where maybe multiple teams had to align quickly to avoid a larger impact?
With regards to multiple teams, a good event would be like if you had a line strike. I'm going to use that example. So utility line strike at a job site. The first thing we need to determine is, was there a Turner person that was injured or a contractor that might have been injured? And that first answer is no, hopefully. We can then move on to, okay, what type of line was struck? Was it a utility line? Was it a gas line? Then it becomes working with the right teams to address, okay, now we have a mitigation step to get those telephone lines up and running or the gas line up and running, whatever it may be. We then shift over to our risk and insurance team because they need to get involved with regards to, okay, what does that mean to our job site for the folks who are working there? Is it going to impact our schedule? Is it going to impact the plan of action for that day, whatever it may be? But more importantly, it ties into, again, safety, making sure our folks are safe, our risk team, making sure that, hey, the insurance coverage is there for them if they need it. If someone was hurt, we would definitely involve, obviously, our employee relations teams for providing support and care that, hey, psychological issues may have occurred because someone got injured or, God forbid, fatality happened. We involve the right people depending on the situation that occurs.
So it sounds like communication, again, is super fundamental when you're having to coordinate activity across all those teams.
Extremely, extremely important.
And how much time do you spend prior to incidents occurring working with outside third parties like the local power company, the fire department, the police? Is that a big part of your plan when you go into a new job site?
It is. And I would also say this, that not just the job site, but for the offices as well. And I would recommend that any company that has multiple offices across the country or even around the world, one of the things we're doing at Turner is making sure that our local offices, we have about 48 offices across the U.S., we will be making sure that each of those offices have a liaison at their local police department or the closest fire department, as well as making sure they understand the local ambulance for themselves. You may remember there was a District 33 strike in Philadelphia and 911 services were impacted. So what we needed to do is we needed to make sure that our local offices, as well as our job sites in Philadelphia, were aware that, hey, you may not have 911 services and it may be impacted. Do you know your local police department phone number? Do you know your local fire department phone number? Do you know your local ambulance corps phone number? So it's important that folks, while 911 is critical and 99.9% of the time is always there, making sure you understand the true 10-digit number, area code, and phone number for those services is important as well. So I'll give a good example in New York. What we decided to do in New York is our local precinct in New York City was the 10th precinct. We said that we would set up a liaison with them, have them come over to our office, tour our office, meet with our folks out there, make sure that they could put a face to, hey, these are the individuals, if something does happen in your building, your office, these are the folks who may come out there. It also gives them the lay of the land of, hey, this is Turner Construction. This is where their headquarters are. But it could be our offices in Boston. It could be our offices in San Francisco. The office manager for those offices typically knows the information in and around that area. You'll know your vendors, not just your police, your fire, or your ambulance corps, but they'll know the local UPS driver, the FedEx driver, et cetera. Those are important people to know. It's important to make sure you understand that if and when you need certain individuals, how do you get in touch with them?
And I know when you're dealing with incidents, you're oftentimes worried about the public at large. So how do you manage those external dynamics?
So when it comes to the public, especially on a job site, you know, it's important that we meet the rules and regulations of the local city and ordinances in and around the job sites, putting up the protection that's required, whether it be scaffolding, fencing, et cetera, making sure that we're protecting the staff, but also the environment. The environment is important as well. Like you could have a local river or water treatment source that might be near that job site. So Turner is very cognizant when it comes to protecting the public as well as the environment that are around the job site. We want to make sure that we fit in with the community, that we're there to support them. If we're building a school or we're building a college or a university or a stadium, whatever it may be, we want to be part of that community. So we always make sure that we are tied into the local community and they understand that we're there to protect them as well as our employees.
Whether you're a construction company or you're a doctor's office or a manufacturing plant, you're part of a community. You don't live in 100%. Isolation. Yeah. So it's really important that you know that if an emergency happens, how can we all respond together? We're going to get through it together. You're going to be impacted probably just as much as me if it's a big storm or something like that. So it's important to make those relationships.
Yeah. And one thing that Turner does, each of our offices has a community and citizenship team. And what they do is they have a lot of work with nonprofit groups. For example, we do a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity. We do a lot of bike building for kids during the summertime. We do butterfly gardens. We teach people about construction. ACE mentorship is important to us, making sure that people understand architecture and construction, making sure that who are the next generation of builders, right? So we work closely with a lot of local schools and universities. So it's to your point, Peter, being part of that community is extremely important.
In your experience, what makes integrated crisis management successful on a construction site?
Turner has a lot of really good individuals who are extremely reactive. Like if something does happen, we're on it. We have the right people who can address that. But we like to make the switch to be, hey, let's be proactive as well. Making sure that we're thinking about what could happen and who's going to do what, right? Taking ownership of a task or a situation at hand that we need to address in the time of a crisis. What you don't want to do is say, hey, this person's going to do X, Y, and Z, or these people are going to do X, Y, and Z. You assign one person and say, hey, this is yours. You own it. And that person takes ownership. So they know that they have that task at hand, and they then need to work with the right people to get that answer, to make sure that they own that communication plan, or they own that mitigation step, or they own that risk step, whatever it may be.
And that ownership shouldn't necessarily be based on seniority, right? If something bad happens, it doesn't like start with the CEO and go down. It's probably the most knowledgeable person that's able to execute on it quickly.
Absolutely. It is never based on title. It could be based on experience, or it could be based on, hey, that person volunteered and said, hey, they got it. They're the right person for the job. They'll take it.
What advice do you have for other safety leaders managing dynamic work environments like yours?
Become a good liaison, right? Make sure you know who are the people across the organization who are good decision makers. It's important that you have people that you know you can lean on when it comes for times of crisis, making sure that you have those individuals that you can look to make a decision when a decision needs to be made. On our side, we look at who are our executive leaders, who are our senior leaders, who are our environmental health and safety folks, and you make sure that those individuals on those teams are, again, are ready, willing, and able to take ownership. And once you have your team set up, it makes times of crisis go so much more smoothly.
So it sounds like a good part of your job is networking. You have to reach out, not just internally in the organization, but in the community and finding out who are all my assets, where are my chess pieces, and then see who you can rely on and then put that all together on a nice chessboard. How much of your time would you say do you spend on that?
A lot of time spending networking, a lot of time. It's funny when you come into New York, I always tell people, do you know who are the security guards downstairs, right? Because it's important to know, hey, they're not a Turner employee. They're an employee of the building. You may need them someday. You might have forgotten your security card or there might not be power in the building. And you may need them at some point in your career or time in that building. They're just as important. Network starts with who the people meet every day. And that could be someone who's working in the building. That could be someone working in the coffee shop. That could be someone working in the mailroom, right? You want to make sure you know that every person you interact with is part of your life and making sure you understand that they're there to support you, but you're also there to make sure you're actively caring for them because at some point in a crisis, you're going to need them.
Well, that's great advice. Eddie, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Peter. I'm really glad to be here.
To learn more about Eddie and his work with Turner Construction, click the links in the episode description. You can also watch the video highlights on Alert Media's YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, the industry's most intuitive emergency communication and threat intelligence solution. To learn more about how to protect your people and business during critical events, visit alertmedia.com. Until next time.